Good evening. James McKenney here with my Science Hour for February 22nd, 2018. I wish you people could see behind the scenes at what I do every week. And right now, things are just absolutely flying. going into orbit, there is so much going on. It is just hard to even imagine. A lot of this stems from the release of the wing generator, and it is going in so many directions, I can't even believe it. But oddly enough, there is an aspect of this, of course, in any time you get into the world of energy and water and those issues, you... by necessity, by just because of the way the world spins, the dark side of what has been going on just raises its ugly head. So this is something that I've been approached, I've been having discussions with people, but it is unbelievable. It's the collusion, the outright fraud and deception by major corporations, by individuals, by the top leaders of our country and past top leaders, the incredible amount of graft and corruption and greed, self-fulfilling activities where people, it's just beyond human comprehension. And I'm able to comprehend a lot. I mean, I understand the term infinity in mathematics. Take an example. If you take all of the grains of sand on a beach and you counted them up, that might be a big number. But now take all the grains of sand on Earth, in the ocean, on all the beaches of the world, etc. And that would be a big number. Now take all the beaches and all the sand in the universe. And that would be a big number of the known universe. In other words, if we could go out and count all the planets that have water and have created sand, and we count all these grains of sand in all of those worlds, that would be a much bigger number. But compared to infinity, any of those finite numbers simply doesn't hold a candle to infinity. Let's take another point of mathematics. Take two points on a number line, and we'll deal with what we call rational numbers. Well, let's start with integers. The integers are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, are some of the integers. And between any two integers that are adjacent, there are no more integers. So between 4 and 5, there's no integers between 4 and 5, but there's a lot of rational numbers which are defined as fractions or the decimal equivalent of those fractions, like 12 thirteenths is a fraction, or 75 ninety-sevenths. I just quickly put that in my hand calculator here, and that turns out to be 0.77319586, etc., going out to many digits. But there's an infinite number of rational numbers between any two adjacent integers, 4 and 5 or 7 and 8 or whatever. But now let's do something rather interesting. Let's go down and let's look at two numbers on the number line that are rational numbers. And now let's start out by saying this, that there's an infinite number of integers. You know, if you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you just keep counting, and then you count till you die, and then your children start counting after that and continue, you would never, ever, through all the generations in the future, you would never get to infinity. And so infinity is a tremendously interesting number. And between any two real numbers, no matter how close together they are on the number line, there's still an infinite number of numbers between them. So a guy named George Cantor in the Oh, when was he alive? Well, at any rate, he was, I'm sure, born in the mid-1800s and lived into the early 1900s, famous mathematician who studied infinities and wrote a book on understanding infinities because there are various levels of infinity. So at any rate, I understand the concept of infinite, but the graft and corruption, when you get in and understand the level that people have been actively pursuing graft and corruption, like the Clintons or the phony Clinton foundations, of which there are many, and the graft and corruption of the Bush family, it just is mind-boggling that these people have spent lifetimes doing nothing but pursuing what you can only term as graft and corruption and greed, control and power. And these are the minions. These are the minions of the world bankers. And I've always said very simply that if you see their faces and names, they're not the top. They are just worker bees, the Clintons. And they get their earthly reward by having vast amounts of wealth, can move around without any restrictions, because they know that no matter what they do, the court system will never catch up to them, because the court system is fixed, the judges are fixed. And they learned this, a lot of them, like Bill Clinton, was a Rhodes Scholar. I've talked about this before. They're chosen, and these are families. These are not Bill Clinton, believe me, was not the son of some, you know, guy that died when he was a baby or whatever. You know, that story is all hocus pocus. He was obviously the son of one of the Rothschilds, and there's some very interesting aspects to that background. He used to be in hunting lodges down in Texas with the Bushes, you know. So, and you know, they I've posted a picture on my webpage showing George Bush Sr. a picture with Bill Clinton as a young guy, and Bill Clinton has his ring on, which means that Hillary had already hitched her wagon to his locomotive there. And also there was George Wallace in the picture. And Billy's got a big S. Eaton grin on his face there. And it's at Kenny Bunkport. It was taken a picture of a lobster fest. And the picture was taken by a guy who is not in the picture, who was the father of a good friend of mine. And that's how I got access to the picture. But anyway, it shows that the Bushes and the Clintons go way, way back, way back. This is long before George Bush Sr. was even vice president under Reagan. You know, so that we're talking a long time ago. But these people have spent a lifetime, and collectively many lifetimes, pursuing graft and corruption at the highest level. But when you get into energy and water, it is just beyond fathoming the level and the it's something like these people work every day. I mean, every day of their lives has been actively pursuing, not one at a time, but many, many different aspects of graft and corruption daily. That's what these people have done, and the human damage that has been done, and the ecological environmental damage that has been done. And then you have big corporations like General Electric and Siemens and others that have just blazed a trail of ecological destruction across this planet. It is literally beyond comprehension. General Electric building nuclear submarines or nuclear power plants that fail, like Fukushima, that don't have fail-safe. and understanding that Fukushima was not an accident. It was not caused by a tsunami. It was caused by an explosion that was planted there, just like the 9/11 buildings, which is another interesting point. How could we have buildings in the center of our biggest city in the country, New York City, with airplanes crashing into them that could not possibly penetrate the outer walls, and then the buildings come down, and everybody knows this is an inside job, and nothing happens. Decades have gone by. I mean, this was 2001. We're now in 2018, you know, coming up on, oh my goodness. The graft and corruption is beyond human comprehension. And so that's why I was talking about the infinite, because it seems like every time you go down a rabbit hole into these, you know, the backgrounds of the Bushes and the Clintons, you think you might come to a finite number of loose ends that you can finally tie together, and no, as soon as you get down to one level, you find that there's 10 other ones between there. Just like an infinite number of real numbers between any other pair of real numbers, no matter how close together they are. And that's why I wanted to, excuse me for this long kind of sidelined oration on the infinity. But that's what it's like when you go down in the rabbit hole and you find where I'm, say, meeting people that I didn't know before, and we are coming headlong conclusion into the same pile, the same rat's nest, the same viper pit, and from totally different directions, from totally different research aspects, concluding, and for example, this is just one little teeny, teeny aspect of collusion where the large corporations basically have been bribing countries around the world to install three-blade wind generators. Well, you know, with the release of my wing generator, which I avoid the word wind at all costs because it alludes to that industry that is corrupt and does not work. But I'll also mention here two organizations which are grassroots foundation institutions. One is NAPA and one is EPAW, standing for the North American Platform Against Wind is NAPA, and then EPAW is the European Platform Against Wind. And so now they are organizing groups that have trying to gain traction to oppose wind energy. And of course, the problem is that General Electric and Siemens and Vesta and all these other corporations have been selling three-blade wind generators that literally don't work. They literally do not work. And they're sold based on what they call installed base. So a 1.5 megawatt wind generator, three-blade thing that you see sitting out there, is being funded by government subsidies. And people like Warren Buffett have made billions of dollars because of government subsidies. And that's the only reason why any of those are out there. And then you have well-wishing politicians who want to look green. And this brings me back to the election when I saw Hillary Clinton stand there and say, we're going to put in 1 billion solar panels in this country. And do you know what that did? She was right there admitting, because now we know that they're in collusion with the big companies, the big power companies that are selling so-called alternative energy, to basically take your money and put it into a technology that doesn't work, into a technology that will suck up all of the alternative energy money and install something that simply will not work, guaranteeing that the central power companies will not be touched, that the central power companies that with for which General Electric and Siemens have a big vested interest, imagine all of the equipment that General Electric sells to maintain the power grid as we know it today, with the central power company controlling the voltage and with all of the subordinating supporting equipment. Let's take, for example, the diesel electrical power heads in a train, General Electric. Let's look at nuclear submarines, General Electric. Let's look at, although they're not directly related to energy, in the grid system, they're related to energy being used for military. Or let's look at the power stations. Let's look at these very, in terms of their overall business, wind energy is a small piece of General Electric's overall business. But if they can suck up and divert into a technology that doesn't work, all of the alternative funds, and they're in there controlling politicians, making them think that this is the greatest thing since sliced bread, then they are guaranteeing their main business of the central power company staying in power and not being having any competition, any real competition. This is collusion includes organizations like the American Wind Energy Association, AWEA, or the Canadian Wind Energy Association, headed by Siemens, General Electric, and the boys, Vesta, etc., being on these organizations. It's like the National Space Policy Board that meets with Vice President of the United States, Pence, to direct national space policy is made up of, Boeing and McDonnell Douglas and the corporations that benefit from being in the, the space money loop. So the graft and corruption in government is in science and in engineering and in technology and in energy and in water. Those are the two big two. Now, if you look at the video that I placed at the top of my webpage, which all of you should have done by now. If not, shame on you. Get to my webpage and read or look at that video. It's about 12 minutes long, 12 and a half minutes of your time. JMCCSCI.com. Go to that video and look at that video. Now, what I do in that video is I explain that it starts out by explaining that the two top problems in the world are energy and water. And by the way, my paid cast, beginning in January, deals with that entire list of human problems, starting out with energy and water in January. And by the way, if you're on my paid cast list, I have been having problems with my email, things being changed as the emails go out. So I'm trying to get back to that to get everybody up to date with their paid cast emailing. But I've also been blocked by the fact that when I do mass emailings, they shut down my email feeds because I do this, once a month. And I'm not spamming. That's not spam. I'm not a spam engine. I don't have millions of emails going out. But anyway, I've been fighting this, against this system that is blocking literally the small guy. Do you think big corporations have problems sending their emails to you? No. Anyway, that's another story. But go see the video at the top of my webpage and look at the very big beginning opening scene, which is a picture of the world in the 10 top problems in the world, the very first two, energy and water. And that is why, in my vision decades ago, I positioned myself in front of the energy and water industry. I have my water filter business, and it's literally the best water filters on the planet, both home and industrial grade. This is not by accident. This is not just because I happened to fall off a log one day and think, gee, I want to be a water filter salesman guy. No, it's because water is one of the main issues being faced by the human race and into the future. So we have water. The question is, how do we get it clean so it's usable? So anyway, that's the water filter line. But energy, you have to understand, I started pursuing my wing generator technology, because I had invented it, as early as 2005. 2004, I was already talking to corporations. I had done my study based on XL Energy up in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul. I was asked by a corporation that was kind of in the mix with XL that was doing alternative biofuels. And they had a big corporation. They were getting government subsidy. They were building biodiesel plants. And so I did the study relative to XL energy efficiency at that point, because, and then also the diesel fuel, biofuel, understanding the efficiencies of these entire processes. And I'm a physicist. And so I was studying this, and at the very end of my study, they said, by the way, why don't you take a look at this alternative energy stuff? And so I did. At that time, the main alternative energies, of course, hydro had been around for a long time, so that I did an analysis, and so I got to understand the Hoover Dam and the big dams and the Canadian dam systems, and the Chinese were entering into that market to build big dams. And so that was one aspect of it. But wind and solar, so the three-blade wind generators were just beginning back at that time. And to really get a foot into where they were and it was very clear they were going to install large numbers of these. And, of course, there was the home market, which, in a sense, doesn't make a diddly darn in terms of total energy. But then also solar panels. And something I worked, my advanced physics degree was on photoconducting semiconductors. So it's something I happen to know a little bit about. My particular thesis was on what are known as photoconducting polymers. And what we were doing, based on my professor advisor's research that I was involved in, it was under a National Institute of Health Research grant. That's when I was at Tulane. And I studied X-ray sensitive photoconducting polymers, but also by default, I was studying them in the visible light spectrum also. And it resulted in some patents that, in fact, one of the materials was then used in the photo Xerox processes, photocopying processes used by IBM. So there were some very major results that came out of my particular research. But the end result is that, and that was, by the way, in the mid-1970s when that research was being done. So my background in solid-state physics, my advanced degree is in solid-state nuclear physics. But that was my thesis, was on X-ray radiation with polymers, photoconducting polymers. Okay, so anyway, a little bit about my background. So photoconducting is something I know a lot about, and so photocells and the working of photocells and their efficiencies and their cost of production and everything is something I happen to know a lot about. So I was doing this extended study based to extend the XL efficiency study to alternative energy. And what I realized is that these things don't work. These things do not work. Well, solar panels, they produce energy, yeah. But I came to the conclusion that if, and I mentioned this in my paid casts that I have there for free on my webpage also, that if you took a solar panel and you made it for free, in other words, you could give them away for free, or let's put a price on it, 1 penny. Okay, you pay a penny for a 400-watt solar panel. 1 penny. That's the retail cost. That's how cheap you can make them now. Let's envision, you know, into the future, some futuristic scenario. And you do this as a physicist. You take examples to the extreme sometimes to understand them. Okay, so we're making a solar panel that costs 1 penny. It's a standard solar panel size that fits on your roof. And it's 100% efficient. Let's pretend that it takes 100% of the solar light and converts it cleanly, 100% efficiently to electricity. Okay. Is that thing that I just described going to solve the world energy problem? And the answer is no, it will not. The simple reason is because the sun only shines a few hours in the day. And if you're at the South Pole in winter or the North Pole in winter, or if you're at a higher latitude like Canada and Russia, Europe, or the northern United States, then you're only getting a couple hours a day. And when it's cloudy out, their efficiency goes way down because you need sunlight. Now let's take a place where you have lots of sunlight. Let's go to Phoenix, Arizona, or other places where you get a boatload of sun every day. 360 days out of the year, it's sunny. And, you know, and you have... In the wintertime, less time, or in the summertime, more time, but you take an average. And there's a thing called solar hours in the industry, actually the industry, and I came up with the same conclusion that there are 4 solar hours per day because the sun isn't directly beaming onto that solar panel exactly every day. So on average, in a good place, you have 4 solar hours per day. Now, you have another 20 hours in the daytime. How are these solar panels going to power your load, your requirement for homes, industry, and everything else we do? How are those going to power the other 20 hours of the day? And remember, you might say, well, it shines 12 hours of the day, the sunlight, but no, on average, you get, because of sun being blocked or cloudy conditions or the fact that the sun isn't hitting those panels directly, you get 4 hours of sunlight, and that's max production of the solar panel, which are not very efficient, by the way. They're not 100%, but in our example, say they were 100% efficient, and you could panel the desert with these things. Would that solve your energy problem? Would that, and this is the prime question, this is the $64,000 question. This is the only question at hand. The only question at hand. Will this technology replace the central power company from burning coal, nuclear, and natural gas and other forms? Number 2, fuel oil, if you happen to be unlucky enough to live on a beautiful Caribbean island or something. But the answer is that solar will never, ever, in a billion years, solve our energy problem because you need to store that energy in some means. And you could think up all kinds of, you know, exotic techniques, storing it in pressure tanks, putting it into high-efficiency batteries, etc. But the reality is, now, if you're going to store that energy into some form, you need enough solar panels so that you gather enough energy for that 4-hour period plus the other 20 hours. This is the problem with solar panels. So the central power companies love, they want you to sign up, they want to panel your roof, they want you to go up, they want the governments to subsidize, they want them to pay for the installation of your solar panels. They love I sound like a Southern preacher. I'm gonna use that accent because the solar panels are just your friend, and you better go sign up right now for all of the good government subsidies and get them plastered all over your roof and yard and backyard. And if you got 20 acres, cover that too, because the power companies love them, because it will never, ever in a billion years solve the energy problem. It guarantees that the central power company will always be there. That's why Hillary Clinton wanted to put a billion of them out there. I don't care. Put 20 billion out there, my friend. And you will never solve the world energy problem, because they are variable, and the central power company cannot handle variability because they keep their monopoly because they control the voltage. Now, that's a very important fact. They control the voltage, which is not necessary. If you look from a physics point of view, you, as a consumer, should be able to control the voltage at your house with a simple controller. If the voltage comes in low or high or whatever, that voltage controller should give you a pure 220 or 120 volts, whatever, 230, whatever the standard is in your area, should be able to convert whatever's coming in to a pure voltage that then you can use. And by the way, you're already doing it right now, because most of you have a voltage controller, sometimes two, three, or four of them in your house. That little box there is called a UPS, Universal Power Supply Support. And it's got a battery in it that'll keep your computer running or your TV running so it doesn't crash and destroy it, or prevents brownouts, which is horrible for routers and other electronics and your refrigerator, etc. So at any rate, you're already doing this, but you're unwittingly doing something that the central power company holds the key to its control, because it controls the voltage. And they do a very terrible job of it. But if you would throw in wind or solar panels with their variability, now they can't do it at all. Australia had two incidents. One where they have overpower, a very windy day, all these wind generators kicked in and threw a tremendous amount of power. They blew out all the electronics. And then they had a brownout day where they were going like crazy and all of a sudden stopped, and the central power company could not gear up in time. And so it blew out all the electronics. So Elon Musk went running over there with a free offer of batteries. Now, why would he install batteries at almost cost to the whole country of Australia? It's because he sells solar panels. And he's in on the gig. So, and Elon's a nice guy. I love his heavy lift rocket and everything like that. And he's, you know, here's a guy that's really trying to do good. But in the case of solar panels, he doesn't understand the market. But given what was available, I don't think he's dishonest. I just think he's misguided when it comes to solar panels. But his cars, good grief, excellent. The Tesla, I mean, he's just blowing away the industries. And his batteries are wonderful. They're great. But as far as solar, it's never going to solve the world energy problem. It's just not going to. I don't care if you panel the whole ocean in the Sahara Desert with solar panels. It's not going to solve the world energy problem, because you got to store it. Okay, so let's go to wind. Wind, I've determined back in my early studies, was the only viable energy source on Earth. Remember that I had looked at Tesla power, extracting energy from the vertical electric field, and that capacitor up there that is just loaded to the gills with energy. That's what gives us our vertical electric field on Earth. That's what powers hurricanes and tornadoes, although the weather station will not tell you, and that's how they control hurricanes, is by manipulating with laser satellites that vertical electric field to take, you know, hurricanes like Wilma and the one in Houston, and Maria that destroyed Puerto Rico, those were controlled hurricanes using laser satellites. But that vertical electric field is wild and woolly. It's a bad source of energy, and Tesla was actually tapping into it when he got his legs chopped out from under him. The Wardenclyffe Towers were torn down by Westinghouse and the boys, J.P. Morgan, when they found out what he was doing, because they wanted to sell energy. At that point, we should have been on electric, complete electric world, including electric automobiles. Porsche had an electric car. Other groups had electric cars. And we should be well on our way to living in an electric car, train, motorcycle world. But they took all of that out. They ripped all of the streetcars out of the streets and forced the automobile, gas-guzzling automobile based on oil and petroleum with this tremendously complicated engine that requires service every 3,000 miles onto you. Excuse me. I mean, this is just insane. We should have been on electric in the early 1900s. There should have never been a Ford Motor Company with gasoline engines. Anyway, I digress. So, going back to my study back in the mid-2000s, I realized that those three-blade wind generators just don't work from a physics point of view. The wind just blows right through them. They kill birds. They kill bats. You know, they make noise. They break down. They have the tremendously big transmission up there that breaks down. They do something technically that's literally impossible, and nobody has ever been able to solve, going from low, high torque, low RPM, high torque devices to high RPM, high torque devices. But just, you know, and anybody who knows anything about gearing will tell you, you cannot do this. So anyway, everything about them is a walking disaster. It's not a balanced prop system. It's three blades. So when the top blade comes up to the top and the wind hits it and jerks it in the direction of the tower, there's nothing on the bottom to balance it. And so the pinion that it's running on is just being pulled back and forth. I mean, these things are a walking disaster. And so groups like the North American Platform Against Wind or the European Platform Against Wind, you can look up these web pages or just Google search Ontario Against Wind Energy. Google that. You're going to get more information. You'll be reading for weeks how people have discovered that these wind generators don't work. And so right now, foreign countries are trying to sue General Electric, Siemens, and other companies for installing this garbage, for selling them a product that doesn't work. But the reality is wind is the energy source that can replace the central power companies. And so in my studies, I said, okay, I'm going to do something that as an engineer, I'd worked in the telecommunications industry for most of my life incognito, because after my years at Cornell, they were trying to hunt me down. They were trying to locate me and basically destroy my life. And so I had to work incognito, which I did successfully for 25 years. I worked in the telecommunications industry as an engineer. And so I, in one position for 10 years, I was a senior, became principal systems engineer at a company where we built IBM mainframe telecommunications computers. We built them, sold them, marketed them. And my job was to write the initial specification for a product, and it is called a functional specification. And it's a very interesting document because you don't look at the physics, you don't look at the engineering that has to be done. You don't look at packaging. You don't look at many aspects. You write a functional specification, and what it says is, what is this thing supposed to do? That's all it says. What is this thing supposed to do? And so I sat down, and with my knowledge of how to write a functional specification for an engineering project, I wrote a functional specification for a wind energy device that, number one, cured all of the problems of the three-blade wind generator, and number two, my primary goal was to build a device that could replace the central power company, and along with that came the requirement that the voltage would not be controlled in the field. The voltage would be controlled at the house or the business or down the block at a controller for the neighborhood, etc. And so I came up with the wing generator. That was where it was born. It has all the heavy equipment on the ground. It runs at low RPM. It is very lightweight. It's very easy to stage. Repair and maintenance is very simple. You can put these in places where there's tremendous wind and then ship the electricity at high voltage right out of the chute, right out of the generator at the wing. It comes out as high voltage. And so it took a complete redesign of everything about what we understood about wind. And so anyway, I could go on and on about the functional specification. So there were seven main points and many, many subpoints in my functional specification. And then I began to design, knowing fully well that the three-blade propeller-looking thing out there would never work. And so understanding that the engineering colleges and universities were teaching this three-blade wind generator thing as some kind of reality, but I also understood that once things get into universities and the funding and the grants and the industry gets going on something like encryption, something I know a little bit about too. I wrote two books on encryption, breaking the RSA codes, understanding that once these things get installed, people keep selling them even though they know they're broken and don't work. Talking about the RSA encryption codes based on prime numbers, something that you remember I wrote my book, Calculate Primes, which broke the encryption codes, and then I wrote a sequel book called Breaking RSA Codes for Fun and Profit, which showed you, the public, how to do it. It was very easy. And so anyway, and that's why all the hacking has been going on, because these companies, unscrupulous, continue to sell encryption codes and firewalls that are hackable by a third grader by very easy techniques. So at any rate, we see this graft and corruption and collusion and stupidity. Let me just give you another example. When I was, I had one of my first cars, and I was in a place where there were a lot of break-ins in cars. So I went out and I bought a security system, the car, and I go and I install it and I put it in my car. And, if you lift up the hood, it's supposed to go off. And it's sitting right there and the little horn is there going beep, beep. And I'm looking at it and I'm going, this thing doesn't work, because all you would need is a fingernail clipper and you could clip the little wire that comes from the battery and clip this thing and that's the end of it. It wouldn't work. So I called up the corporation and I talked to an engineer, and he said, yeah, I see what you're talking about, so you'll have to talk to the president of the company. And I talked to the president of the company and I said, look, your device here is easily dismantled. Any crook that opens this up within 1 second of it being the hood being opened, he would have this baby dismantled. And it was on a delay timer, so that it wouldn't even make a sound. And so anyway, he responded by saying that we favor the current design. In other words, they were going to keep selling something that didn't work because they had the packaging and the marketing and the product, and to change it and to recall would be a problem. Financial problem. And his decision was that he would lose money. The product he knew didn't work, but he favored the current design. So I don't know how many people out there bought this thing. It was distributed nationally, internationally, and it didn't work. So, you know, when it comes to money, corporations, corporate decisions, don't expect them to make the decision that's in your best interest. When you get up to companies like Siemens and General Electric, let me tell you, boys and girls, you can expect 100%, 110%. You can expect them to do the colluded, you know, graft corruption decision that keeps their money flowing. That is the bottom line in their world. So, okay, back to the discussion of back in the mid-2000s. I've written my functional specification. I've designed my wing generator, and I go out with a big smile on my face looking for funding. And I go to the same corporations that were doing the biodiesel fuel. They were already in the alternative energy world. And I get all the way through the engineering process, and remember that the three-blade wind generator was designed by none other than our good buddies over at NASA. In the mid-1970s, NASA was given the edict to come up with some kind of alternative energy design, and that's where this came from. And I know what they did. They took and made a little model in a laboratory. It spun around. They got some electricity out of it, and that's where it came from. But anyway, so I get up to the head of the president of the company is looking at my proposal to build and do the prototyping of the wing generator. Remember, this is like 2005. And so he looks at it, and he comes into the meeting, and he goes, well, I'll tell you, I'm not a scientist in this respect, etc., but I got a buddy at NASA. Well, that's where the whole thing ended, because I wouldn't let them, under a non-disclosure agreement, I wouldn't let them take my design to NASA, who's a big thieving operation that their only interest would be to steal it. And I had already had good experiences with NASA stealing my work. So anyway, this is, easily decided by, we'll talk to you later. So then I went and I looked for other funding, which I found. I found people with millions of dollars, and we were set up to build a wing generator. I took it to the engineering corporation to do the engineering, all of the engineering, one of the larger engineering firms in the world, and had everything set up, and we were going to build a 100-foot diameter model of the wing generator on the west coast of Mexico at an exclusive resort that had no roads coming in. It was going to be strictly for high-end boat traffic. So people with luxury yachts would come to this resort, and they had no way of getting energy in there. So the wing generator was going to be, this was going to be the signature location and demonstration point for the wing generator. And we're all ready to go. And these people stopped. One day, the millions of dollars, everything was and they could not be contacted. There was no way I could contact these people. And so what I found out is somebody had gotten to them basically saying, you ain't going to do this. And they were doing other alternative energy projects, including electrical batteries of new designs, electrical buses that they were actually manufacturing and selling in Latin America. So they were involved deeply in alternative energy projects, but this is one that ended like a freight train hitting a mountainside. It ended one day. I'm telling you this because I want you to know the history. And so anyway, I could go on and on about the lifetime of the wing generator. So anyway, I have now done the wing generator, and The wing generator is released, so I'm not going to bore you with all the other history that went into this. But the thing that I've done also is I've coupled the wing generator with water generation technology, that you can you can have the wing generator by itself, you can have the water technology by itself, or you can combine the wing generator with the water technology to generate, to extract water from the atmosphere. And the problem with the water extraction from the atmosphere is it's very energy intensive. For example, a 2,500 liter per day water extraction unit takes around 45 kilowatts of energy. So if you have to get that from the nuclear power plant or the coal-powered electric plant, then that's a lot of energy. That's a lot of expense to get that amount of water. But if you can couple it with the wing generator, all of a sudden you have the ability to extract water from the air in volumes and basically at a very low cost. So that brings you up to date. Now, if you watch my video on my page and listen to the paid cast that I have for free, it's from December 28th, 2017, my paid cast dealing with the energy solution. And by the way, I recommend that you join my paid cast if you have not already, because I have extensive coverage of these topics in the paid cast. And I don't have time on this show to go into that level of detail. That's a whole nother level of science that is very good. But okay, so let me summarize. The wing generator not only can solve the world energy problem by replacing the central power companies, because the engineering studies have been performed, we can scale these to very large sizes, and I know up to 400 to 500 foot diameter, but I'm of the belief that these can be built up to 1,000 feet in diameter, in which case we would be replacing with a single unit a power generator of, say, 2 gigawatts, a coal plant. And the nuclear plants are typically, on average, between 0.5 gigawatt and 2 gigawatts, some of the bigger ones. But what we're dealing with here is the efficient collection of energy from the wind, and then with very essential, very important. Now, remember this term. It's called distributed energy. Distributed energy distribution, in which case you take the energy from the wind, you dump it onto the grid. It's like, imagine the grid is a swimming pool. And around the swimming pool, you have fountains. And they're all pouring their water into the swimming pool. And you want to maintain a certain level of water in the swimming pool. So if the water on one side is not pumping enough, but you have enough wind in the example, or water to pump into the pool on the other side, then you maintain the level of water in the swimming pool. And that swimming pool level is equivalent to our energy need for electricity. So you have these sources of energy, and you oversource it. You overbuild the wind potential to dump energy onto that pool of energy being drawn off from the pool, and you would be like a user with millions and millions of little users plugged into the swimming pool using the water. In our case, it would be electricity, and the fountains filling the pool and the water being drawn off, and you maintain the level in the buffer in the pool. And so that is called distributed energy. It's like distributed computing that came our way. And the power companies are going to fight this tooth and nail. They are going to fight it until the last dog is hung. They're going to do everything they can. And now we're catching General Electric and Siemens and the power companies, Xcel Energy, colluding If you live in Boulder, Colorado, you know that there are groups there that have been trying for decades to get alternative energy of some sort in place, and Xcel Energy blocks it at every turn. They're fighting for their existence. Xcel Energy is big on wind power. They have the biggest installed wind base of anybody in the world, I believe, but it doesn't work. They talk about their installed base, which is the total amount of energy they would produce if they were all running at 100% of their capacity. And the end result is that on a general day, even a windy day, they might let them run a little bit, but they're not connected into the power source. And so Xcel Energy has colluded to join in the myth of alternative energy to pretend like they're green, knowing full well that they're protecting their central power company business, which is their core business. Well, that's great, but that's a monopoly, and it's illegal. And it's illegal to take a false product and put it in there, colluding to benefit the public when the entire goal is to scam the public and keep their monopoly. So at any rate, you can see where this is going. But the wing generator is out there. It's getting a lot of interest. Many things are happening in the background, but I started this show by talking about whenever you do something good in this world, you will necessarily be dragged down the rabbit hole and see all of the collusion, the illegal monopolization that's going on down in the depths, I would call, of the energy water industry that keeps the rest of the world living in the dirt, basically, and paying a very high price for energy from high energy content fuels that is not necessary. It never has been. And so anyway, you can tell we're in for a roller coaster ride here to watch these big corporations squirm and pull strings. And remember, this goes all the way up to the top to the world bankers who control all of this and the wars and the balance of power to make sure that no country becomes too powerful like the United States. Oh, man, it just doesn't end. Anyway, remember that the 15% sale is still on my water filters. Please go there. Free shipping to the 48 states. The big commercial water filters, the MR500, 900, 30% off. Now is the time to buy those. That sale will not last long. And then the video for the wing generator, all of that there on my webpage. The webpage is JMCC, S is in Sam, C is in Charlie, I is in Indigo, seven letters, JMCCSCI.com. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.